will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors.
Our Advent theme, as is in the bulletin and as those of you who have been here before may know, is entitled When Advent Doesn't Look Like Christmas. And the reason for that, of course, to some degree, is because Advent is not Christmas. Advent is a time of waiting, preparing, thinking about the coming of Christ, which was true before Christ first came, but also puts us in a time of Advent as we wait for the second coming of Christ. This time of waiting is why the Christmas tree is still not all the way lit. We're getting closer. This Tuesday evening, that will happen, and Wednesday, but we're not all the way there. Why the manger scene has been getting bigger, but we're not there yet either. And today we get to the Song of Mary. Quite a girl, Mary. That's all she really was in today's terms, a girl, maybe as young as 15 years old. Told by an angel that God would be the father of the child she was going to have, and she says, if that's what God wants, go for it. And right after she says that, in the passage we read right before it, she goes off to Elizabeth, her cousin. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, who we looked at last week. But you've got to note the irony in the story. Mary, who shouldn't have had a child yet for a while, and Elizabeth, who should have had a child years ago, as she and her husband had prayed, Mary with no husband, and Elizabeth with an old priest husband who suddenly wasn't able to talk anymore. And I don't know what it was like for Mary, but as I have reflected on her over the years, I am impressed, like so many are. I mean, we know just from Joseph's reaction, he was going to dump her, that Mary's situation was not going to be well accepted. She goes away to Elizabeth for 3 months, and then what? Then she comes back home, and people begin to notice a baby bump. And the questions and the accusations, they start. And the rumor mills go. May it be to me as the Lord has said, she said. Maybe that's partly why God chose her. Mary doesn't focus on herself, on her reputation, her status, her rights. She focused on God, and now God focuses on her. A woman in a man's society, if you will, looking back at those days. A humble young girl pregnant with the Christ. It seems an understatement to say that's pretty out of the box. But then if you know God at all, you know God doesn't stay in a box. at least not by our definitions of what the box ought to be. And I want to invite you to think about that a little bit with me, because that's important in our conception of God. You have to start with understanding that God doesn't work in the ways that we might always expect God to work. And you get the sense that Mary wasn't so much surprised at the fact that she was going to get pregnant in a supernatural way. Her surprise that comes out in this song is that God would choose someone like her. I mean, at a time when most families who revered God and believed that the Messiah would come, when most families hoped that they would be chosen for the Messiah, Mary can't believe that God would choose someone as humble in the position as she was. But that's the way God works. God used the ordinary to accomplish his extraordinary plans. God didn't use the proud or the mighty, but the lowly and the weak. And you can trace a little how that goes in the Christmas story. I mean, you think about it, the shepherds. You know, no shepherd ever thought that he would occupy the center stage of human history. Shepherds didn't have status. Forget the box. God bypassed the priests, the rabbis, and the scribes, and the Pharisees. No great religious leaders involved in this one. No fine families who came to temple every Sabbath with all their children. But lowly shepherds, and we are still singing about them today. And Bethlehem, a dirty little town that didn't rate for much unless you had to go there to register or something. And Elizabeth, the older barren wife of a priest who preached and taught the supernatural but couldn't believe an angel for looking at one in the face. And you trace that back through the Bible. God uses some of the least likely people. That's who God is. That's how God works, out of the box. And it's in that fact that we find our hope. God doesn't choose the ones who they think or we think have it all together, who look like their life is totally in order. God chooses the weak, the simple, those who are willing to be used, willing to take risks, to do God's will, even if it might mean getting dumped by your boyfriend and dumped by your town. And that says something to any of us who think that we have God cased and we've got life and faith in a box. God, out of the box. It makes me think that if we've become a little too familiar with who we think God is, and we're fairly quick to assume how we think God acts, then it's good to reflect on this. Because that's what the essence of grace, of God's grace, is all about. And we don't want to be so focused on a box that we have made and where we have placed faith and religion and God that we might miss where God actually is and what God is doing. Like happened the first Advent. So Mary, who gets it and is willing to go with this God who is not in a box, she sings a song about what God is doing. A Christmas song. Though not quite a nice song. One pastor pointed out that we may think a singer like Madonna, if you know who that is, Madonna has songs with controversial lyrics, and we do, because she does. But then you have to take a look back at the real Madonna, the Virgin Mary. Her song is more radical than anything the pop star came up with. Some of the lyrics in Mary's song are so significant that there have been missionaries who've been instructed not to use them in public. Did you know that? Listen to the words. Mary says that the Lord has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent away the rich empty. That, she sings, is God in action, and that is God's agenda. And that's the shocker, this pastor wrote. Because of these words, William Temple, who at the time was Archbishop of Canterbury in England, told missionaries in certain areas not to read Mary's words in public. Talking about a God who topples rulers and lifts up the humble, a God who satisfies the poor but sends away the rich empty-handed, can arouse controversy and persecution, depending where you are. People in power don't like to hear that kind of thing. And if they know that missionaries are saying that kind of thing in their country, they will respond, and they have. But that's what Mary's song says. God turns the world upside down. He brings a complete reversal of fortunes. So, moms and dads, you think about how you would feel if your teenage daughter, who, by the way, you just discovered is pregnant and unmarried and is pinning it on God because she hasn't had sexual relationships with any human male, next begins to start composing and singing songs about toppling the government. What would you think? You'd start to worry just a little. Especially if you're under the rule of something like the Roman Empire, which doesn't take too kindly to uprisings. If you know a bit of history, you know what they do to people who try to incite the public against them. But Mary sings anyway. This reversal, that's God's way. And Mary knows it. She knows that she's just the latest verse in God's song through history. God who uses the weak and the foolish and the runt of the family to accomplish his purposes. And while that's all great for Mary, the warning here is very clear. God is planning to do things that might surprise us. The rich and the powerful, those who live for the here and now, who don't give much for God's work, let alone care about it, who don't care about poverty or injustice. Those who are comfortable and just want to keep it that way and are not into repenting and bearing fruit in line with the kingdom, a la John the Baptist, like we heard last week. And Mary's song says, well, take note. There are some things that are going to be reversed. And I know that God is talking to me. I don't think God's going to measure how rich I am by comparing me to Elon Musk. But rather God will see my riches in comparison to the huge number of people in the world who have far less than what we do. God is talking to you and to me. A reversal. And your Jesus is the cause of it. That's a little unsettling. It definitely doesn't sound very peaceful at this point. But it needs to remind us that this isn't some cute little song about some cute little baby born on a silent night and sweet sheep are hanging around and this baby is soon going to be the wise friend of many people. Though all of that may be true. This young girl is singing about her baby coming to turn the rich and powerful on their ear. Things are going to change. That's the way of God in any of our lives. And when you think of it then, you have to say it's quite a Christmas carol. And when I read through it or hear it, I have to ask, so who in the carol do I identify with? Which of the groups that Mary is referring to? How faithfully do I live Jesus' way? Who do you identify with? Now, you don't have to tell me, obviously, but you have to consider an answer. Because this is a song of Jesus' advent. It's the song of the gospel. And it all keeps pointing to a consistent message that we can't miss, and that message is the message of John the Baptist and is the message of today for all of us. And that message is, we need the Lord. And if you and I don't see our need for salvation and don't see what's going on around us and don't see that we don't stand a chance with God simply standing on our own two feet, if we don't see a problem of evil and sickness and disasters and injustice and the unfair distribution of wealth, if we don't see that, then we won't see a Christ who came to say something and do something about it. But if you do see it, if we see it, then we can't miss the message. Then we see the message of the gospel. A message of a child who came to a world that God loved but was not happy with. Who came to help people who can't help themselves. People who may not have it made socially and who have scars and sins and issues, but who have learned to say to Jesus, may it be to me as you have said. And not just to make it part of their confession, but actually to get up and follow him and bear the fruit of the kingdom. Because you see, that's what gives us hope. The gospel and the God of the gospel can be for any one of us. In our weakness, in all of our inability, in the histories that we have, any one of us. As one author wrote, God is more likely to be found sitting among the poor and powerless folks in halfway houses than at a conference table with the world's most powerful brokers. More likely to be found in dirty alleyways and homeless shelters than in penthouse offices with CEOs and politicians. More likely to be found with the lonely child that everyone makes fun of than with the popular group who everyone admires. Jesus' birth in a feeding box sets the stage for what would follow in his ministry. Jesus will go on to call into his service despised tax collectors and uneducated fishermen. He'll spend a lot of time among society's lowlifes, hanging out with auditors on the take, lifelong prostitutes, Samaritan adulterers, Roman thugs, outcast lepers, and even officers of the despised Roman army. And that means that Jesus will call on you and me if we humble ourselves and pray and accept that we need this baby, this man, this God who came to do what Mary sang about. If we're ready to follow him and what that means. This Christmas song or prayer is for us. The God who acts out of the box, the God of great reversals, the God of one consistent message from the Garden of Eden on. The God who wants you and me. And now God wants to know of us who celebrate and claim to know the Christ and to know the story. God might want to simply ask us, can you sing this carol? You may not know the tune, but here are the words. And it's something that you'll have to think about because we're going to sing it in a few minutes. And what it means for you when you sing or listen becomes part of what we do with the story of Advent. No, it's not a nice song. at one level. But at the heart of it, it's the gospel. For the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And that's his word, not mine. Amen. We are going to pray, and as we have been doing the other three Sundays of Advent, I'm going to begin the prayer, and then there will be a time of silence, and I'll put three questions on the screen that you are invited to read and to use to reflect on as part of your prayer or simply in reflecting on this song of Mary. But please join me as I begin that prayer, and I will conclude the prayer after we've had a time of silence to pray ourselves. Lord Jesus, this song that Mary wrote about your coming, we have called the Magnificat. And we know there's a wonder, a majesty, something incredible about the whole story that leads to the song of Mary. But we also want to hear and not mess with the text what it is that Mary is saying and what that means for those of us who would know the story and follow you. We know it's about waiting for your second coming in a sense, but it's also very much about how we live as we wait. As we have opportunity to quietly reflect in prayer, also for ourselves, we ask that you hear us as we pray. Lord Jesus, as we anticipate your coming, our souls rejoice in you and what it means that you are Lord and Savior. As we sing these words and also wonder about their meaning and your place in our lives, we ask that you would then also bless us because we pray in your name. Amen.